Welcome back, everyone, to episode 2. So you want to join the military? I'm so excited about this one. I have a whole script of everything that I want to say. I have a lot of stuff down here, and we got a long episode ahead of us. So I hope you guys are ready.
Yes, we do. We have a lot to talk about. We have a lot of experience in the military to bring to the table, and we are going to tell you every single thing that you need to know before you pull the trigger. Definitely. On joining the military.
Yeah, but first, what are you drinking?
So today, I'm not actually drinking Yingling. I'm drinking Miller Lite.
Ew.
Those little pints, the one pint. I like these.
See, I can't do Miller Lite. I can do Angry Orchard, and that's about it for the beer.
Yeah, you can do cider.
Sometimes I can do Yingling. I like Yingling a lot, but that just kind of depends on my mood.
Which is very rare for you because you really don't like hops. Yeah. You don't like beer.
Yeah, I really don't drink too much beer, but occasions. I like red wine, which I actually had red wine in the fridge.
Yeah, you were debating whether you wanted wine or Angry Orchard, but
I don't know about anybody else, though, but for me, when I drink something, it has to be like ice cold or I will not drink it. And Cody can attest to this because if it is not ice cold, I will not drink it. I promise you. She's like, it has to burn my throat when it goes down. That's crazy.
I cannot deal with that.
It's the complete opposite.
It's got to be like room temperature.
And I don't know if it's a male thing, but he also does this thing where he can leave a pizza sitting on the table for a week and eat it every single day and not worry about getting sick.
It's like a cougar. As it ages, it gets... I'm just kidding.
Oh, my God. Okay, well... without further ado, I think we should just jump into this topic because we have a lot to talk about.
I think we should jump into the topic. And if anyone is just joining us for the first time, as we've said before, we are absolutely complete amateurs when it comes to this. We're going to film this one time through until we get confident enough in our editing abilities. Like if I was a professional podcaster, I could fix what I just said earlier, but I can't. So we're just going to laugh about it and realize I'm human.
But you know, that's another thing we want to bring to this though. We really just want this to be real. We don't honestly care a whole lot about editing stuff out. This is who we are. I'm literally sitting in my pajamas right now drinking a beer and I don't care. Mm-hmm. But that's just who we are. And that's what we want to bring to our audience. Like we said in the first episode, this is raw and this is real and this is us. So hope you guys are going to enjoy this episode.
Oh, one last thing. You're going to notice about 30 minutes in on this podcast, we finally have or would like to introduce our first sponsorship to the Plan of Action podcast. And when we bring a sponsorship to you guys, it is in no way, shape, or form a money grab. It's just kind of cool that you can get small amounts of money out of them too. By no means is it enough money to live off of or anything. But the sponsor today, and probably from here on out, we'll add some every now and again as we see fit. But the current platform that we're using to record this podcast is Anchor. Mm-hmm. And we'll get into that a little bit later on. But for anybody who is planning on starting a podcast, that sponsorship, the ad that you're going to see about 30 minutes in is specifically for you guys. We're never going to bring a sponsorship to the table to play for you guys that we don't personally use.
Yeah, definitely.
And it has to benefit our listeners in some way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. So we know if you're listening to a podcast, you have an interest in podcasts. Maybe you want to start your own. Maybe definitely. Anchor would benefit you.
Definitely. Yeah, we'd never want to promote anything that we personally don't believe in ourselves. So at least...
You can tell the listeners about we're filming for the first time.
Oh, yeah. I completely forgot to mention. So for those of you who are watching today, hello. I just started our YouTube channel. So our first episode will actually not be on there just because our first episode, we were really kind of just getting into stuff and I didn't want to add too much into that. But now that we have pretty much everything set up and further to come on our website, because I am still currently working all that stuff out. So hopefully we'll have that up along with our Hostile Fitness merch that you guys can purchase if you want. I know a couple people out there who are former supporters of ours with our Hostile Fitness company. We are working on that. Don't worry. That'll come here shortly. So just keep an eye out for that. But yeah, I'm ready to get started.
Yeah,
I'm
I think we did our mandatory 5 minutes of rambling that we're probably going to do every podcast. So think it's time to just go ahead and start in on the topic. So you want to join the military. You want to start first? Or you want me to start first?
You can go ahead and start.
Okay. So I wrote up somewhat of a script. And if you guys know me in my personal life, like I know a lot of the viewers currently know me personally, you guys know I ramble like crazy. So when I read a script, I'm not reading this stuff word for word. I'm kind of reading it to keep me on track, because if I don't have a script, exactly what happened the first 5 minutes, we're going to go on and we're going to ramble and we're never going to stay on topic. I'm terrible about that. So first of all, I think the absolute most important reason when someone wants to join the military is you need to ask yourself why. What is your why? Your why is what is going to bring you through all of the hardships, not just basic training, not just spending time away from your family. I'm talking if you're stationed overseas, active duty, you're in the middle of combat, there is always a reason why. And you're going to fall back on that reason why several times. There's a lot of special forces soldiers in the United States Army that talk about when you go to SFAS, Special Forces Assessment Selection, which is essentially to see if you got what it takes to go special forces, that say one of the single most important things that you can bring to the table in regards to special forces is your why. Yeah. And I said that waters down even to joining the military in the first place, because it is a massive decision. Mm-hmm. You have got to know why.
Yeah, I always say, you know, I get a lot of people. I work a civilian job. I'm National Guard. So I currently now I do work full time for the National Guard, but previously I, you know, had civilian jobs, but I would get a lot of people, you know, that would ask me, you know, why should I join the military? Well, you got to think about that yourself. You know, I always say you have to have a passion for this job or you will not make it. I hear so many people that come to me and say, you know, oh, I'm just doing it for the education benefits or the money or to support my family. Yes, those are all great things that the military offers, but nobody is going to tell you, you know, the real truth when shit hits the fan. And that's what we want to do for you guys. You know, this is by no means, if you're thinking about joining the military, we're not trying to persuade you out of it by any means. I think the military is a great, great option for people. And I personally feel like everyone should have some type of experience with a military background, whether it's going to basic training or going through some type of drill, which if you don't know, for the Reserves and National Guard, drill is where you go once a month and you work on your military training, obviously because we're not active duty. But I think it's just really, really important that if you are going to join the military, you have to have a passion for it. And I can't stress that enough. This job is very physically and mentally demanding. And if you are not prepared for that, if you are not ready for that, it's going to hit you like a bag of bricks when it comes time to it. It's going to
chew you up and spit you out.
Yeah. So that's first and foremost, any advice that I would have to give to anybody, that's what I would tell them. And that really gets them thinking, and I'm glad it gets them thinking. And I've had people who were super, super excited about joining the military. And, you know, I've told them straight up, if you don't have the passion for this, and if you are just doing this for the money, this is not the life for you. And they've, you know, even talked to a recruiter and they just stopped. They decided it wasn't something that they wanted to do, which is completely fine. It's not for everybody. That's why this is, you know, the military is on a volunteer basis. It's not for everybody. And I went through a period of my life where I was like, why did I do this? You know, at first, I didn't even know if I had a passion for it. You know, I was around some people who were really pressuring me into enlisting, and I did it. And ultimately, I came to the decision that, yes, I did it for me, because if I hadn't, I don't know where I would be at in my life right now. I feel that we are both grounded, and I have the military to thank for that. And I have the discipline and the knowledge and just experience to be just good in life, to be a good human being. And I hope that someday when we have kids, I can instill that in them. You know, like I said, I think that the military is just a phenomenal thing. I really, really do. But we want this episode to really bring the attention to you guys that it's not just about the money. And also, you will meet so many people and so many friends and battle buddies is what we call them. But they are incredible, incredible people. And you will create a bond and, you know, a sistership and whatever it may be. It's an incredible feeling, and you really do have that family. So, but yeah. So do you want to hop into it? Hop into your why?
Sorry, I'm passing notes to Abby right now.
Like, yeah, and he's distracting me, and I don't like it because it's getting me off course, and I was going on something right now.
She was going on something. Okay, guys. So now that you guys know why Abby joined the military, I'll tell you guys about my why. And you guys probably think because we're fairly successful in the military that we have these awesome badass whys and we're these Captain America type people. And we're really not. To be completely honest, neither me nor Abby had a very strong why as to why we joined. And that's why I think it is important that you guys have a why, because that's something that we learned from that we could pass on to you guys. So never at any point in time in my life growing up did I ever even consider joining the military. You know, my grandpa was a Korean War veteran, and I always heard all these stories that he told me, and I'm like, man, that's so awesome, but you know, it's not me, it's not my cup of tea, but that's awesome. My younger brother, he was absolutely obsessed with the Army. This guy would watch like Mail Call on the History Channel, back when History Channel had something other than freaking American Pickers and Pawn Stars, because yeah, that's history, right? American Pickers and Pawn Stars. Like, I don't understand that. But anyways, yeah, never had any idea that I would ever join the military. I played sports growing up, things like that. And eventually I kind of dropped everything because I went to a small high school, Farmington High School in Arkansas, And I think the thing was, I actually wound up losing a lot of friends because we grew up playing sports together. And towards the end of high school, I decided, you know what? These sports are not going to get me anywhere. There's a lot of awesome benefits to playing team sports, and I fully support that. But for me personally, trying to go to the next level at college and things like that, and having a, you know, I lived with my single mother at the time, and she wasn't, you know, what single mothers are just, you know, living big and luxurious and things like that. So, you know, it wasn't really an option for my mom to pay for my college or anything like that. So another thing, I didn't really make the greatest grades in high school either. So for me, the one chance that I had that I knew that I could get into college was through the band. And I know you guys are like, really, dude? Like, you were just talking about anime and video games. Like, I'm telling you guys, I'm a nerd, okay? Like, I am such a nerd. Anime, video games, books, band, like, that's all my stuff. So I was in the marching band my senior year. I was the drum major, so I was like Lord Nerd. Like, not only was I a nerd, I was Lord Nerd. I directed the nerds. So as I'm doing this, you know, I get picked up by the University of Arkansas for a full ride scholarship to be in the marching band. And I was like, okay, you know what? I'm set. You know, I did what I need to do. Well, the second semester of high school, my senior year, I wound up getting jumped by these two dudes that I did not get along with. I did not instigate a fight. I did nothing of the sort. These are just two dudes that even now, I'm not going to name any names or anything like that, but even now, like, actually, let's talk currently right now. One of them is in jail. I just saw it come up on Facebook. So, you know, these two guys are just, you know, they never really found their way. So they jumped me, and I guess they didn't know that I've been doing martial arts since I was four. I'm very capable of defending myself, and defend myself is exactly what I did. One of them wound up getting their jaw broken, and they tried to sue me for that. Obviously, when push came to shove, there were plenty of teachers and witnesses there to everything that happened. I tried not to fight. I knew that I had my scholarship on lock, and I was trying to stay out of trouble. But when it became a legal battle, well, now I lost my scholarship. So that led to me trying to figure out what is my next step. One of my good friends at the time wound up joining the Army, and I was thinking, well, you know, and he was talking to me about it and everything. And I kind of started taking a look at, you know, what might I be able to do in the military? You know, what interests me and things like that. I took a look at a couple of other branches and everything. Ultimately, the only reason that I really decided on joining the Army was because my friend joined the Army. We were going to go through the Battle Buddy program where we're going to be stationed together at the same. We're going to go through basic training, AIT, and have the same duty station together. So we'd be together the whole time. We were both going to be a chaplain assistant. I had zero interest in being a chaplain assistant, but I did have interest in sticking with my friend and starting a career. Unfortunately, he got in and my position closed down. So I went back to the drawing board on what I wanted to do with my life. And finally, my recruiter got me in by saying, "Hey, did you know there's a band in the Army?" "Oh, really? Okay, that's kind of cool." So eventually, when push came to shove, I enlisted in the Army band. In the Army band, there's a plethora of instruments that you can play. You know, I played more than one instrument. And that's essentially my story as to how I joined the Army. There's so many opportunities. I don't talk. I mean, of course, with my friends, you know, my battle buddies, my battles, whatever you want to call them. That's what we call our friends that are also in the military with us. You know, we do our normal thing where we bash other branches and stuff like that, like the Coast Guard. So, I mean, we do things like that. But, you know, like real talk, I don't personally feel that way. I know Abby doesn't personally feel that way. We all respect all the branches, but that's just kind of our camaraderie. That's our thing that we do. So before we go too far into this podcast, when we talk about the military, the themes are there across the military. It doesn't matter whether you join the Air Force, the Space Force, the Coast Guard, the Army, the Marine Corps. It does not matter. That why is always going to be there. The tips and tricks that we give you guys, which first of all, there's not a whole lot of tips and tricks we can give you. Go ahead.
It's really just, honestly, you can't train enough for the military. No matter how long or how hard or how much you learn for the military, nothing is going to prepare you for that.
Absolutely nothing.
Nothing. You just kind of have to experience it for yourself. And it's different for everybody. Some people, you know, love it and they make a career out of it. And some people, it's just, you know, they do their contract and it's not for them. And that's completely okay. Honestly, because you know what? You're going to go into battle with that person, you know, if you go into battle, and you want that person to be fully dedicated. And if they're not dedicated and they're not there, I'm sorry, but that's just somebody I don't want to go into battle with. So.
Absolutely. So to backtrack on what I was saying, we're not subject matter experts in any branch outside the Army.
No, absolutely not.
So we're not going to go too deep into those branches.
Yeah.
Don't take that negatively. I'm not like anti-Marine Corps or anything like that. I just simply don't have the knowledge base to talk on the Marine Corps. So I'm not going to put out a whole bunch of, you know, BS out there for you guys to take as gospel.
Yeah. We just don't know enough to speak on it, but also I would like to get people from other branches in here to kind of talk about their way of life and how they do things. And, you know, maybe that's something that you'll be interested in. Maybe the Army's just not for you. Maybe the Air Force is for you, you know? So
100%.
That's another thing to look into as well. So don't take, you know, just take everything that we're about to tell you with a grain of salt and move on from there.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And we're not, of course, we're kind of biased towards the Army, but we're both big on, just because we're Army doesn't mean that you need to be the Army.
Yeah.
99% of the time, if you go on Facebook, if you're thinking about joining the military and you start asking, "Hey, which branch of military should I join?" Everybody is going to talk about their favorite branch and that's it. If you have a best friend that's in the Air Force, he's going to tell you to go Air Force and all the other branches suck. If you have an uncle that served in the Marine Corps, he's going to say the Marine Corps is the only way to go. All of this is false. There is no perfect branch. There is a perfect branch for you at a specific time in your life.
Mm-hmm.
If I had never joined the Army and now at 28 years old, I go to join the Army, it might not work out the same. Maybe the Air Force works out for me better. You won't know until you explore your options and talk to a recruiter.
Yes.
So definitely. Let's go back and let's talk about a couple of common reasons why people join the military.
You want me to go?
Yeah, you can go ahead and start off with the first one.
Well, like I said before, one of the biggest reasons that I see is obviously for the education benefits and the money. And I know some people do it just to travel the world. Some people do it for citizenship. Some people do it to fight terrorism, to honor their family. And some people just do it to fight for their country. And that's what they want to do. I know for me, growing up, I always pictured myself in the military. But when I turned 17 and I actually enlisted, I didn't really know I had the guts to do it until someone pushed me to do it. So I never was like, you know, I pictured myself in the military, but I never pictured myself making anything of it, if that makes sense. So I just needed that extra, that little nudge, because it really has changed my life. If I hadn't have joined the military, I would not be sitting next to my husband right now. And it's kind of, you have to look at it, you have to look at things from a different perspective sometimes. So.
Absolutely. So like Abby said, a lot of people join simply to serve their country. Maybe they want to have an honorable life, and that's why they join the military. A lot of people, it's a family tradition. You know, my dad and uncle, or, you know, my mom and aunt were in the military. So, you know, I want to follow in those footsteps. And they think that that's honorable, and it is. You know, if carrying on that family name, you wear the same name tape across your right chest that they did, and you're carrying on the next generation of that, there is absolutely nothing wrong with that. And there's a very strong why, because that is the same why where when you feel like quitting, you're going to remember that that name tape on the right side of your chest is the same one that maybe one of your parents wore or something like that. You don't want to let your parents down. That's a very strong why. I personally use that nowadays. I think whenever I'm about to quit something, I remember, you know what? My grandpa had Taylor across his chest when he was in the jungles of Korea, and he did it. So you know what? In the comfort of the United States, I'm going to get it done too.
Yep, definitely.
Like Abby said, there's college education. You have college education benefits. For the Army specifically, you have like military TA. You've got the GI Bill. I know you got those across a couple other branches. But like I said, I don't want to start speaking on what other branches have, because they all bring something different to the table.
Yeah.
In the Army, we can use our GI Bill, and we have military tuition assistance. Abby and I both go to Southern New Hampshire University online right now, which puts the tuition cap, it's because it's a military-friendly college, puts the tuition cap at $250 per credit hour, which is the maximum that Army tuition assistance will pay. We go to school online 100% for free. And it was not a difficult process. It really was not. We were in school, registered, enrolled, and everything. It didn't even take a week. It was probably a couple days.
Yeah, definitely. And that's, you know, like we said, what's your why? That's something you personally need to look into, because nobody else is going to tell you. Nobody else is going to tell you why. I mean, you can ask people all the time, you know, why should I join this branch, or should I join this branch, or should I even join the military at all? And that's something you have to decide for yourself. And like I said, that just comes back to having the passion for it. But also, I want to bring up, when you are joining the military, ask questions to your recruiter. And I don't mean ask questions of, well, why should I join this branch, or should I even join at all? I mean, ask questions like, what can I expect from the military? What are they going to do to keep me going? That was something that I didn't ask. I didn't ask about the benefits. I didn't even know that the Army paid for my school tuition up until I graduated AIT. And AIT, for those of you that don't know, is pretty much our job training. The job that we have in the military, you go to AIT after basic training and you learn your job.
Stands for Advanced Individual Training.
Yeah.
So. And while we're on the topic of advanced individual training, the Army is currently working on trying to get an associate's degree for soldiers who complete AIT. As far as I know, right now, if you go Air Force, every single airman that graduates their AIT, which I believe is called tech school. I'm not sure. But their version of AIT, from my understanding, every single airman that graduates from that course comes out with an associate's degree from the community college of the Air Force. So that's one thing that you might want to look at, like, oh, hey, you know, Air Force might look good for this, but the Army, but that's only one aspect. I'm not saying, oh, go Army. I'm saying that is one thing. And a lot of people stop when they see the first good thing about a branch and say, you know, fuck it, I'm going for it. Do not do that.
Yeah.
You need to look at the whole spectrum. Like Abby was just saying, you need to be hounding your recruiter with questions.
Yes.
If your recruiter is losing patience on you, that is not the recruiter for you. Go find a new one. The recruiter is there to work for you. if you have one of those recruiters that only care, and I'm not trying to throw recruiters under the bus. I have a lot of good friends that are damn good recruiters.
But we're just being real. We want to be real with you guys. This, absolutely. You know, this shit happens. And there are, unfortunately, some really not so good workers out there.
There's bad eggs in every bunch.
Yeah. You know, if your recruiter is saying, oh, well, I'm new at this, I don't know this job, or, you know, they're not really giving you any answers that you're looking for, go to a different recruiter.
That's, find a different recruiter.
They may be butthurt about it for a little while, but trust me, this is on you. This is your career. They'll get over
it. It's your career. It's your life.
Yeah.
They made the actions that they wanted to make or lack thereof with theirs, and mm-hmm. it interfered with yours. So continue on with yours.
Yeah.
With that being said, I'm going to talk about Army specific stuff for a moment. I would like to say the same thing across other branches, but I'm not entirely sure how it works. With the Army specifically, you need to try to find a recruiter who's going to fight for a bonus for you.
Yeah.
It might take a little bit of time. You can't go into a recruiting station. It's like a car dealership. You can't go into a recruiting station and immediately just throw yourself to the Army. Mm-hmm. They're just going to do the absolute minimum amount of work possible and to get you thrown off in basic training. Next thing you know, you're sitting there in basic training next to a guy who's earning a $40,000 bonus for the same exact job you're doing. You didn't get jack shit.
I'm raising my hand right now because that was me.
Exactly. Yeah. So first of all, on your first initial enlistment, you should probably have a bonus. You should probably have a bonus. That is not specific to every single situation, but the majority of the situations, you should probably have a bonus. The next thing I can't stand, when I was a drill sergeant at basic training, I would see privates show up with no rank on. This is a little fuzzy patch. Call them a fuzzy. An E1 private. Why? Why did that recruiter not do every single thing in their power to get that soldier to PV2 and then private first class prior to leaving for basic training? Now, you can't be a specialist unless you join with a college degree, but you should have a recruiter that's going to get in your corner and fight for you to get a PFC. That is thousands of dollars that you're missing out on basic training, because part of it might be you. Maybe your recruiter's trying to say, hey, you need to pass this PT test or something like that, and you're in here munching on Cheetos or something at the house. I got it. That's on you.
Yeah.
However, if your recruiter doesn't even mention promotion ability prior to leaving to basic training, go find a different recruiter, because that recruiter does not have your best interest at heart.
Yeah, for sure. And like we said, guys, there's some really amazing recruiters out there. And
absolutely.
There are very, very few people who don't actually care about their job. Recruiters have a really tough job, and I want to applaud them.
Very tough.
Because they are pretty much responsible for making sure that the Army has a constant flow of soldiers to go and fight for the country.
Mm-hmm. This is not us hating on recruiters. This is us taking care of potential future military members.
Yeah.
As a drill sergeant, I get something called SDAT pay, special duty assignment pay. And that's essentially what the Army pays me to work overtime as a drill sergeant, because we work ridiculously long hours. As far as I know, the only other position that gets that same paycheck in the military is recruiters. Recruiters are available 24/7. They have a tough quota to meet.
Oh, yeah.
They are under an immense amount of pressure.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you have a good office flow and the teamwork is built up and everything like that, if one recruiter is suffering, well, another stronger recruiter will help pick that up. They'll take them under their wing and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I've even heard instances of some recruiters that are brand new and they just straight up say, hey, I'm new. I don't really know what I'm doing, but we're going to try. Go find a new one. Go find another recruiter. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to throw that one under the bus. Go find another one.
Yeah, definitely. I don't want to throw anybody under the bus or anything, but if you're a recruiter and you're listening to this and you know you're not doing what you need to do to make sure your soldier has everything that they could possibly need going into basic training or AIT, then fix yourself.
Yep.
Because that is an issue. You are weaving out these people to be good soldiers, to make it through basic training.
Stopping at 30.
And it looks like we're going to have to take a break here in a few minutes. But we have a lot to discuss.
Technical difficulty. It's supposed to let us record like an unlimited amount of time. It's stopping at 30 minutes. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break. You're going to hear a word from our sponsors.
Yes.
And then we're going to pick right back up. All right, you guys, stay tuned. Welcome back, everybody. We are back from our break. I hope you enjoyed the word from our sponsor. We got through those technical difficulties, figured out what the deal was, why we're only limited to 30 minutes. We're good. It was on our end. Before we left, I think we accidentally turned that to a recruiter bashing session, and we by no means wanted to do that. We just wanted to make sure that you were weary of those bad egg recruiters that are out there. We fully support recruiting personnel, and I have plenty of friends that are recruiters, and they're damn good recruiters. But I think we want to move on to the different branches themselves and talk about them for a quick second. So I think we should start with the United States Marine Corps. Actually, let's go down the list first. You want to go ahead and go down the list of the different branches that we have?
So we have active duty Army. We have the Army Reserves, the National Guard, which these are all Army. These are just different components of the Army. We have the Marine Corps, the Navy, the Air Force, and the Coast Guard.
And let's not forget the lovely Space Force on top of that.
Yeah. So, oh, and now that we're talking about Space Force.
Here we go.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm a big fan of The Office. So, of course, I love Steve Carell. I think he has just aged like fine wine, and he gets hotter as he gets older. I'm sorry, babe, but
that's just how it's going to be.
But anyways, what was I saying? I was reeling over Steve Carell right now. So Space Force just came out on Netflix. Highly recommend. 10 out of 10. Go watch it right after you listen to us.
So, absolutely.
They just make a funny remark about the Salvation Army and the Coast Guard, and you got to watch it to understand it. So just go watch it.
They said they would call the Salvation Army into battle prior to ever relying on the Coast Guard.
So, but yeah, those are the branches of service that we have on here.
So really quick, I'm going to go over some real quick. Like Abby said, we have the Marine Corps, Army, Navy, Air Force, Coast Guard, and now Space Force, which really no one knows anything about. So we're not going to go into that. Talk about like the subsections of them. As Abby said, you know, you have the Army, active duty, reserves, and National Guard. We'll go into detail on those.
So before you go on, I just want to say, I think you should talk more about the active duty and reserve component just because that's your experience, because I'm National Guard. So I think you should explain those.
The Marine Corps also has their own reserves. The Navy, I'm not really sure about the Navy, and the Air Force has National Guard, like the Air National Guard. As far as I know, the Air Force does not have reserves, and the Marine Corps does not have National Guard. But we'll start off just kind of touching on the base, on the other branches really quick. The Marine Corps, obviously, I'm sorry if you're a Marine and you're listening to this, but you guys are part of the Navy. It's just kind of how it is. You can really think of the Marine Corps as the Navy's fighters. So if you're like just you're joining to go do some badass shit and wage war and kill terrorists and stuff like that, Marine Corps all day, all the way. They're a rifleman first. Everyone breathes the Marine Corps. It's probably the tightest knit group out of any branch without going into special forces and things like that. Just straight out of basic training, the camaraderie, the brotherhood, sisterhood, all that stuff that you think of in the military, the Marine Corps, without a doubt. Even though I don't like to admit it, they're top on the game. They're riflemen first, and the camaraderie is just impressive. The Navy, I don't really know a whole lot about the Navy. I know I got a couple friends that are in the Navy. They deploy a lot from what I see. You spend a lot of times on aircraft carriers and ships and things like that. They have a very small amount of duty locations, which if you plan on spending a career in the Navy and stuff, that's really good because there's fewer goodbyes. You might say, you know, fair winds and following seas, as they say, to your to one of your battle buddies, and it's not a big deal because 4 years later you're stationed together again because there's like two. I'm over exaggerating. There's like two bases that you're going to be stationed on. Of course, you know, it's all about water. If you're afraid of the water, don't join the Navy. I'm going to be completely honest. I didn't ever even think about the Navy because I don't like the open ocean water. That's just me. You're going to be in close proximity to oceans most of the time and water, so. That's the Navy. The Air Force, I would say the Air Force, they're the butt end of a lot of jokes as well. They're probably the closest to having a regular job. Without a doubt, have the highest education level, so they're the hardest branch to get into. They're probably the most, what's the word I'm looking for? Not respected, but
They're very
prestigious.
Prestigious. And they're very smart people. Everyone that I've ever talked to in the Air Force, incredibly intelligent. So
absolutely. They're like the Harvard among other other military branches. Like I said, they're the butt end of a lot of stuff, but they're very, very academic oriented. It's an awesome branch. I mean, I really can't say anything bad about it other than some people join that branch and get spoiled in terms of being a military member. And then the last one, the Coast Guard. Of course, you know, we love our puddle pirates. I'm just kidding. So the Coast Guard normally, I would say nowadays, they're primarily law enforcement. Essentially, you could think of them like law enforcement on water. They do a lot of rescue, safety operations. They don't have very many MOSs. I think they've got like maybe 20, if that, something around there.
Yeah.
But you can think of Coast Guard as basically law enforcement. And then, like I said, we don't really know a whole lot about Space Force. So we're going to talk about the Army. But before we go too deep into like active duty reserves, I'm going to let Abby cover the grounds on the National Guard. So go ahead.
Yeah, so the National Guard, if you are looking into more so a reserve component of the Army, not really wanting to do the active duty full-time thing, I love the National Guard. So the thing with the National Guard is they have this program called RSP, and it's the Recruit Sustainment Program. And I did this for, about a year almost. So I did it between my junior and senior year. I enlisted in October. I finished out my junior school year, and I went to basic training in the summer. And between that period, they have a monthly drill that you will take part in. And in this drill, you will be surrounded, obviously, by new recruits, some people who have already been to basic and some people have not. So the people who have already been to basic, this is pretty much the split option program. And that's what I did. That's when I chose to split up my Army training from my junior and senior year. So it's a really, really great program. You learn a lot. And if you are one of those people, I know that active duty doesn't have this, and I personally think that they should. You learn the ins and outs of the military, you know, how to march, how to sing cadence, you just learn a lot. You take PT tests every month. It just prepares you. You learn the Army values, the soldier's creed, everything. So that way, when you get to basic, you know your shit. And that's really the way to go. That's how you want to be. You get messed with less, honestly, by drill sergeants. So I personally would recommend the National Guard. But you have more experience. I know the reserves kind of has a similar program. I don't know how well the program works. You probably know a little bit more about that. But absolutely. I know it's – what is it called? The
Future Soldier Program.
Future Soldier Program. Okay. But, yeah, I think it's pretty much the same thing, except with the National Guard, you don't get to be with your unit until you've completed your AIT, which – you'll have basic training and then you'll have AIT. So for me, after I graduated basic training, because I was still in high school, I came back home and I finished out my senior year of high school. Once I graduated, then I went to AIT. And my AIT was, it differs for every job, but mine, I think, was about like 12 weeks. However, if you are not in high school, this is not really an option for you. It's really mostly for high school students. But if that's the case, you'll just go through basic training and AIT altogether. So you'll have basic training is 12 weeks, and then however long your AIT is, 10 weeks. So however long your AIT is.
Just dependent on your MOS.
Yeah, dependent on your MOS, what job you have.
More technical ones take longer.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And also another thing, too, is what I like to say is, if you have an idea of what you want to do in the civilian world, 9 times out of 10, the Army has that job. So talk to your recruiter about that as well. Because if you want to be a medic or a doctor, or if you want to work with, you know, airplanes, the Army has those jobs for you. I think they pretty much have the same jobs that any other jobs would exist in the civilian world. So remember that too. You don't always have to change your career path or what you love to adjust for the military. So that's another thing to keep in mind as well.
I'm gonna go ahead and talk about reserves now.
Yeah.
Okay. So the primary difference, because a lot of people don't really know the difference between the Army National Guard and the Army Reserves. You might hear a helicopter going over our head.
I actually work right across the street from me, but that's all my.
If you hear a helicopter overhead, Abby knows them.
Shout out to any of my coworkers who are flying over my house right now.
Yeah, Army Aviation.
Army Aviation.
So,
by the way, highly recommend Army Aviation. Best aviation is by far the best place you can be at in the military.
No bias, right?
I knew nothing about aviation before I joined, and I'm so glad I joined aviation. Best job in the world. Anyways, continue.
So the primary difference between the National Guard and the Reserves in relations to the Army, the National Guard works for the state. So if you take where we're at now, we're in Georgia. So if I were to join the National Guard right now, I would be in the Georgia National Guard. I will work for the state of Georgia. The governor is pretty much, besides the commander in chief and, you know, the Army leadership and stuff like that, primarily we work for the governor in the National Guard. However, in the reserve, you know, that's Abby, National Guard. She works for the state. However, in the reserves, we work for the federal government. So we can go countrywide, nationwide. Not to say the National Guard can't go nationwide, but generally they're directed towards the state. So a lot of things that Abby might do, she might do like humanitarian missions, natural disasters, all those kinds of things. Those are all tasked out by the National Guard. The Reserves really doesn't do those things a real whole lot, although a lot of our medical units are being activated right now for COVID-19. But a lot of our training in the Reserves takes place all across the nation. One cool thing about the Reserves and National Guard in relation to the Army, like in comparison to active duty, we have something called the Active Guard Reserve, which is AGR. I'm currently in the AGR. I know I kind of briefly talked about it on episode one, but there are full-time positions available in both the National Guard and the Reserves, like I'm in right now. A lot of people don't know about that. Another thing a lot of people don't know, because the Reserves get a lot of slack, is that the Army Reserves, out of any branch of service, even Army, because technically, if you think about the Army, there's three branches of the Army. There's active duty, National Guard, and Reserves. The Army Reserves specifically has deployed at a higher rate, at a higher tempo than any other branch of service all across the global war on terrorism since that kicked off after 9/11. I wouldn't say don't let that scare you. And if you're trying to deploy, don't jump into the Army Reserves just because you're trying to deploy, because I myself, I'm not a deployment dodger. I've actually tried to sign up for deployments 4 times and I have never deployed. So if anyone's, you know, afraid to join the military because you're like, oh no, I don't want to go to war, I don't want to do this. Not everybody goes to war, for better or worse. 10 years in, as a drill sergeant and everything, I was training brand new people that are joining the Army. I was training them for war after not having ever been to war myself. That was a huge weight on me. However, I've had several dozens upon dozens of my soldiers have successfully deployed, made it home safely with medals and all that good stuff. So don't let deployment scare you.
Yes, definitely.
Especially nowadays, in regards to deployment, now I can't speak because, you know, all the crazy stuff that's always going on. But take global war on terrorism, those units deploying to Iraq and Afghanistan and all that stuff. When you see people that are killed in action nowadays, a lot of those units are infantry units, rangers, special forces that are still taking the fight to the enemy. Like I said, if you're trying to join and just go to war and like you have your mindset, this is what you want to do, you need to go into that stuff. You need to go Marine Corps infantry, machine gunner, Army infantry, Army rangers, Army special forces. You need to go in those units that take the fight to the enemy. Everybody else, I'm going to catch a lot of slack for saying this, everyone else supports the fighters. Yeah. We call them the tip of the spear. Everybody supports them. Me as a military police officer, and I'm probably going to have military police officers that are going to like kill me tomorrow for saying this. We support the infantry. I'm sorry. It is what it is. We support the infantry. Everything that we do supports the mission. So if take my current position, I'm in a really weird position right now. Previously, I was a mechanic. And in my unit now, I'm a mechanic again. Motor sergeant specifically, in my unit, if I were to deploy as a motor sergeant, I'm going to deploy on a FOB or something like that in Afghanistan, some sort of a base that has a motor pool in there, I'm probably not really going to leave the wire. And by leaving the wire, I mean leaving our little safe base and going out into the wilderness of Afghanistan. Same thing with administration. Like all these MOSs that you see, a lot of them never leave the safety of the base. Even when you're deployed in a hostile environment, there's security perimeter set up, and you're just carrying on your day-to-day work in your office that just happens to be in Afghanistan. So a lot of people think they're going to deploy and immediately die and all this stuff. That just really does not happen anymore. And it hasn't happened for a long time. You have very, very specific events that happen on rare occasions, like a mortar lands in a defect. And that stuff is very tragic. It really is. But it's very rare to happen nowadays.
Yeah, definitely. I think we should get into a little bit about basic training for all of our future soldiers that may have just enlisted. Because I know you know a lot about basic training, and I know a lot about basic training.
Definitely. Real quick, before we jump into basic training, let me talk about the Future Soldier Program and the Reserves, because I know Abby talked about the RSP program. She said in the National Guard, once you enlist, you're assigned to an RSP unit, and at this RSP unit, you do nothing but train for basic training. That is your unit until you go to basic training, graduate basic training, you go to AIT, graduate AIT, and you finally get assigned to your actual unit in the National Guard. There's this other thing called split ops, which is mostly reserved for high school juniors that are prior to their senior year, but we still see it happen quite often, where you go to basic training, you come back home for a few months, and then you go to AIT later on. That's an option as well. That's something you talk about with your recruiter. However, in reserves, we have a future soldier program. And what this means that for a reservist, and I cannot recommend you enough to take advantage of this situation, in the future soldier program, you're going to go to your recruiting station. For me, when I was a future soldier, it was every Thursday. When you go in there, your recruiters are going to put on a class for you, and they're going to teach you all the things you need to know in basic training. At the same time, you are under no obligation, generally speaking. Don't take that as gospel, but generally, you are under no obligation to report to your actual unit. You already have your unit of assignment. However, I strongly recommend you go to your unit. Your unit will square you away for basic training. I'm currently working with multiple soldiers right now in my unit who are future soldiers. They go to their future soldier training on Thursdays, and we have a drill weekend. They come to the drill weekend, and I train them specifically to get them ready for basic training. That's something that we could consider our own little RSP. It's not as in-depth as the National Guard RSP, but you really need to do it because we're here to answer your questions in the unit. We're here for you. And we'll take you under the wing, and we'll get you ready to go for basic training. All right. Speaking of basic training, I'll let you go ahead and talk about basic training for a minute.
Yeah. So I was actually talking to someone about this earlier today. I want to give one piece of advice that I think anybody who goes through any type of basic training, it'll be useful. I think that just getting through the first 2 weeks is half the battle. I know, don't get me wrong, it is very physically and mentally demanding, and I'm not gonna, you know, bullshit you about that, but just the first initial adjustment, I think, is probably the hardest for most people, being away from their family. Me personally, I've missed a lot of birthdays, a lot of holidays, a lot of anniversaries. And it's hard, and it's really hard, and don't ever feel like you're the only one going through that, because every single person that is in your cycle is going through the same exact thing. So talk to them, you know, make friends, share your feelings, share, you know, maybe what you did that day, anything, just get to that, you know, measure your days out, get to that breakfast, or then get to that lunch, and then get to that dinner. It helps the day go by fast. And I promise you, when I say this, the days will drag on. The days will feel like they never end. But then it's like 2 seconds later and the first week is over. So it's really just kind of dependent on you. You really got to remember that this is such a small part of your, you know, whole career, your whole contract, or however long you want to stay in the military. This is just the smallest portion of it. And it's going to be hard at first, especially like for someone like me. I've never been away from my family for that long. And it was only, you know, 3 months. But it's definitely just something to just, it's just something to think about when you're going through that initial step.
Yeah, absolutely. So I have two parts where I can approach basic training. One, I'm going to approach it from a soldier perspective, as a civilian that's undergoing the transformation to be a soldier. And then I'm going to go through another perspective, which is something that's incredibly beneficial that I can bring to this podcast that you're really not going to get a whole lot of other places. And that is the drill sergeant perspective. As you guys know, I was a drill sergeant for 3 years. I started off at Fort Sill, and then I moved to Fort Leonard Wood. And the entire time I was on active duty orders. So it's not like I was just doing like these little reserve missions here and there. I was there the whole time. I was embedded within active duty units. It was actually active duty infantry unit. I was the only reservist in my unit there. As far as my company goes, I was the only one. So first, I'm going to start off from the soldier perspective. And like Abby said, we're not going to sugarcoat any of this because you don't deserve to have all this fluff and stuff. You deserve to know exactly what you're getting yourself into. And we're not doing this to stray you away from anything. We're doing this as a call to action. Like we said, this is the Plan of Action podcast. Now's the time to start preparing your plan of action if this is something that you really want to do. So basic training is broken down into three phases. The first 3 weeks is red phase. The second 3 weeks is white phase. And the last 3 weeks is blue phase. In red phase, that is where you begin the soldierization process. That's where a drill sergeant is going to take this group of civilians. They're going to absolutely break them down physically and mentally to prepare to build them up as soldiers throughout white phase and blue phase. You're going to start walking the walk. You're going to start talking the talk. The best way that I can tell you as a future soldier to prepare for basic training, mentally, remember your why. You need to know exactly why you are about to embark on this career.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more with that, especially, you know, going through the, just going through all the thoughts, you know, sometimes that's all you can think of is why did I sign up for this?
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, if you're going through, you know, a rifle qual, or if you're getting smoked, and if you don't know what smoked is, it's pretty much just a forced physical training by a drill sergeant.
Yep, push-ups.
Yeah, push-ups, sit-ups, 8-count push-up. But anyways, what was I saying? I was getting...
Talking about remember your why?
Yeah, yeah. Just remember why you're doing this. I can't stress that enough. Just, and honestly, it would, for me, it would play over and over and over in my head when I was at basic training. And that's what kept me going. It wasn't anything else. I was just, I needed to do this. It wasn't for me. I didn't want to prove it to myself. I needed to do it for everybody else. And that's why I needed to do it for the person who was sitting next to me that was doing it for their reason. And they were doing it, you know, for me. And that was just kind of, you learn to build that bond and that relationship with those people. And that truly will help you get through this.
Absolutely. In addition to remembering your why, like Abby followed up on, you need to learn, and this is Army specifically, but it's going to help you in other branches as well. Every branch has their creed, general orders. For the Army, we have Army values. There's an acronym, leadership, LDR, SHIP, loyalty, duty, respect, selfless service, honor, integrity, personal courage. Like, these are things that you have got to know. If you don't know when you get to basic training, you'll know it. It's going to be drilled into your head dozens upon dozens of times every single day. You will know it. However, you will be way ahead of the power curve if you show up to basic training knowing this. Learn your creeds, learn your general orders, learn those Army values. It's going to seem like a lot, but in the Army, you're going to learn, you're going to be taught to memorize a lot. You're going to have to memorize a lot of things. You might as well get into that mindset now.
Yeah. And I know we've been talking a lot about, you know, what goes on mentally. And that's honestly, for me, probably the biggest part. We have a lot of veterans and just people who kind of lose their way a little bit when they're going through all this. And it can get really tricky sometimes. And you know, veteran suicide is a very, very, very big thing right now. And I don't feel like people have really brought enough attention to that. I mean, I couldn't even tell you the amount of people that I knew that, unfortunately, that was something that had happened to them. And be there for your battle buddies. Be there for them. Even through basic training, just be there for them. And just remember that, and always remember that you always have someone too. It's not just you.
Absolutely.
So, and I, like I said, I know we're talking a lot about mental aspect of the military, but that's 90% of what the military is.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It's 90%. Anything in basic training, it's all just a mental game. Even special forces school. Yeah. Special forces school. People go through special forces school, say, yo, it's 90% mental. It's all mind games. Do you have a strong mind?
Yeah.
And the reason you have to have a strong mind is because worst case scenario, in basic training, we train for the absolute worst case scenario so that you are prepared for that and everything else is a cakewalk. Mm-hmm. We're going to prepare for, guess what? You're out there in the middle of Afghanistan. You're separated from everyone. You're on your own. You better have the mental resilience to get through this if you want to make it back home.
Mm-hmm.
Absolute worst case scenario. And our job as drill sergeants is to really push that stress on you. A good example I have is there's a grown-ass man, early 30s, has kids, wife, everything. One day he was running late to formation. He ran outside and his boots were untied. I lit his ass up. As a drill sergeant, that's my job. I'm supposed to act like, yo, my entire day is just ruined because this grown man ran outside with his boots off or with his boots unlaced. So I'm tearing this dude up. I'm saying, dude, if you don't get your fucking bootlaces tied, you don't get your life together. I swear to God, it's gonna get real biblical up here. It's gonna start getting bad. And I start hammering on this dude and tell him to tie his bootlaces. It took him over 3 minutes. 3 minutes to tie up one bootlace. And they were already laced up. All he had to do was do the loop-de-loop by boot, and your shoes are looking good. He couldn't even do that. And then I calmed down. I settled down. I settled him down. And I talked him through real quick about why it is that we do the things that we do. And I tell him to tie his other bootlace. 3 seconds tops, he's done. That is a very good example of what stress can do to you.
Yeah.
The stress that we put on you as a drill sergeant is meant for you to learn to live and function with stress. If this dude could not tie his bootlaces in under 3 minutes in that stressful environment, how is he ever expected to make it through a war? He cannot. And that is our job as drill sergeants. At the end of basic training, you need to be mentally strong enough. If you have a strong mind, I promise you, your body will follow. If you have a strong body but a weak mind, your body will become weak if you don't make your mind strong enough to meet your body at that high level.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And that's when I was going through basic training, I didn't understand why they were doing what they were doing. Now looking back, obviously, and being married to someone who has experienced that firsthand, you kind of start to learn why they train you the way that they train you. And it's all for the better.
Okay, so I think we beat the mental aspect into your guys' heads. You know you have to be mentally strong and that any sort of basic training that you go through across any branch of service is a massive mental game. So now I think we need to start getting into the physical aspect.
Yes, because there is a very big physical aspect as well.
Absolutely. So I'll tell you from firsthand, as a drill sergeant, one of the biggest things that would piss me off in basic training is when someone shows up to basic training and cannot do a single push-up or a single setup or can't run for more than 5 minutes. So the thing that irritates me about this is I just got to ask a soldier, why are you here? You knew when you signed that dotted line and raised your right hand and swore the oath that you were going to go to basic training. Why at that exact moment did you not start training your body? You know this is the Army. You know there's going to be push-ups. There's going to be setups. You are going to run. So why in the world would you show up to the Army's basic combat training not able to do one single push-up?
Yeah. Yeah, I know for me, the day that I joined, which I'd always been active. I did sports in high school, so I was always kind of active. But the day that I started joining, I started working out. Because let me tell you, the Army is – any branch of the military really is hard on your body. I can't tell you I first joined the military, I never used to have knee problems. I never used to have joint problems. And I feel like a 60-year-old woman right now. And that's just the truth of what the military is going to do to your body. It hurts your body and you need to prepare for it. You need to slow that process down, you know, stretch, run, do push-ups, do sit-ups. You are expected to take a PT test. And if you don't pass that PT test, the military is not going to keep you. You have a certain amount of chances. And if you can't perform to their expectations, they will not keep you. They're not going to keep spending money and resources into a soldier that is not adapting to that life. It's just not going to happen. And as for the PT test, you know, you're expected to complete a 2-mile run. You're expected to complete 2 minutes of push-ups and sit-ups. And actually, they just changed it to the ACFT, and we can get into that. But that's a whole new PT test that's getting ready to come out.
We'll cover that in a later podcast because right now, due to COVID-19, it's been extended indefinitely. There's no set date from the Command Sergeant Major of the Army as far as when that's going to go into effect. So as far as basic training goes, you need to be focusing on the APFT, Army Physical Fitness Test, which mm-hmm. Abby just said, 2 minutes of push-ups, 2 minutes of sit-ups, and a 2-mile run with a minimum of 10 minutes rest in between each event.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and the 2-mile run is different with age and gender. So I know females for my age, they need to have their 2-mile run done in, I think, 18 minutes and 45 seconds. And the younger you are, the less time you have. The older you are, the more time you have, which is not an excuse because there are multiple people that have been older than me that have ran a 14-minute 2-mile. So that is not an excuse either because I've heard that a lot. And then for push-ups and sit-ups, I think for females, for my age, it's I want to say, I don't even know, maybe 10. It's not even a lot. It's very, very simple. And then sit-ups, of course, is I think like 43 or 45, something like that. And it's different for males. It's different for gender and it's different for age. So you have to look into that as well. Make sure you're training your body to what it needs to be trained to. Don't just run a mile once a week and expect to be able to run 2 miles in 18 minutes or whatever it may be.
Not going
to
happen. Yeah. And like Abby said, all these PT tests, they're easily Googleable.
So I'm gonna hold that against you from now.
Oh God. Okay, I'm gonna hold persevere you against you from episode one. But just go to Google and type in Army APFT standards. Yeah. Army APFT standards. You're gonna see the whole list. You're gonna see what it is that you need to train for. You need to be able to make sure. If you don't know, in basic training, you have to hit 50%. I think towards the end of my tour as a drill sergeant, they were upping that to 60%. Regardless, you don't need to be shooting for anything other than 60%. You need to try to shoot for a perfect 100% across the board. And if that's what your goal is and you are training accordingly, you are going to hit your 60%. At no point in time in the military should you be striving to be the minimum at any point of time. That means you're just barely making it. You don't want to be in Afghanistan barely making it. That's not a good time to be barely making it. So make sure they say, a gallon of sweat in training saves a pint of blood in war, something like that.
Yeah. So, and it's, you don't have to have a gym. You just need a space, a clear space with nothing in it and your body and a thing of water. That's all you need.
Absolutely.
I've always said, the easiest way to get better at push-ups, sit-ups, and running is to just do it.
Just if do you want sit-ups and run.
Yeah, if you want more, if you want to be able to do more push-ups, do more push-ups. If you want to be able to do more sit-ups, do more sit-ups. If you want to get better with your endurance, run. Really, I know you can. You know, obviously, you can lift and you can do other things, but you don't need that, and that's an excuse for some people. Y'all, I don't have a gym. I don't have equipment. I don't have an area. Well, there is an area. It's called outdoors. And that's all you need.
The bedroom and everything else. So I'm going to let you know, the military is no place for excuses.
No.
I dare you. This is a personal dare. If you go to basic training, I dare you to try to give a drill sergeant an excuse as to why you couldn't accomplish the mission. Oh, well, drill sergeant, I couldn't train accordingly because apparently I don't have 6 inches of space to do a push-up at back home. Bullshit. I'm going to tear you up for that. And you know, my battle buddies that are still on the trail as drill sergeants are going to eat you alive. There is no place for excuses. And what you're about to embark on in the military is a serious endeavor, and you need to treat it as such. It is not just something that you join for free college. If you join it for free college, people are going to know very quickly because you are not living up to your true potential and really applying yourself in this career. And when you don't apply yourself in this career, that selfishness, which goes against the selfless service Army value, we're going to chew you up and we're going to spit you out, because that selfish behavior and that selfish train of thought has no place to my left or right flank on the battlefield.
Yep. And like I said, it just goes back to having the passion for it, you know, and the reason why we're making this episode so serious is because it is serious. And that's really all there is to it. I mean,
it's huge. There's too many soldiers in this Army that do not have the passion for the Army anymore. Mm-hmm. You have got to be fully invested in this if you are about to embark on this career.
Yeah.
And like Abby was saying with push-ups, if you want to get better at push-ups, quit making excuses and make time to get down on the ground and start doing some push-ups. Do burpees. If you can't do one push-up right now, get on your knees, cross your legs, and then start doing push-ups. The further out you have your hands away from your shoulders, the more weight you're going to be doing on that push-up. Eventually, you're going to get to where you can do one full push-up. And then from there, you do push-ups until you can't do push-ups anymore. Drop to your knees, cross your legs, and start doing the half push-ups.
Something that I actually used to do when I first enlisted, because I was always super nervous about not passing a PT test. So I was just constantly making sure I was working on that. I would literally set a timer on my phone for an alarm on my phone for every hour. And every hour on the hour, I would get down and I would do 10 push-ups and 10 sit-ups. And that was it. That's all I needed to do. And I did that every day. And I did that every day for about a week. And when I say my push-ups, I went from like 10 push-ups to 20 push-ups in about a week. That's really what happened. And from there on, I just started doing that.
And being nervous prior to a push-up or being nervous prior to going to basic training is completely normal. Yeah, and you should be. If you're trying to tell me that you're not even the slightest bit nervous to leave home for the first time to go face a bunch of drill sergeants and embark on this career, you are full of shit. And if you are doing the military the right way, prior to every single PT test, you should have that little nervous butterfly in your stomach as well, because you want to perform your best. It should not be nervous of, oh my God, what if I don't do this? What if I can't make it? I get nervous. I've got 10 years in and I still get nervous every PT test, because it's not, what if I don't pass it? It's, what if I don't hit my goal that I'm training for? What if I don't get 100%? That's the type of mentality that you need to develop. That's the type of mentality that has taken me as far as I've gone. In regards to sit-ups, anything you can do with your core will help with sit-ups. And one of the biggest things I can say is start doing planks. Planks are going to help you with both your sit-ups and your push-ups. Mm-hmm. With your runs, you need to vary your runs. You need to run 1 mile as fast as you can. You need to do sprints as fast as you can. You need to run more than 2 miles. Run 3, 4, 5, 6 miles. You need to mix it up all the time. Don't just do 2 miles every single time you run, because you're gonna hit a plateau.
Yeah.
And then you also, the best advice I can give you as a drill sergeant to people who are trying to increase their run is do interval runs. If you live in a neighborhood, sprint to a stoplight, walk to the other stoplight, sprint to the next one, walk to the next one. That is an example of high intensity interval training, HIIT cardio. That is the best way to lose fat, and that's the best way to get faster. Because when you do any type of HIIT cardio, your metabolism spikes up for approximately 8 hours after the end of that cardio session. You continue burning calories at a high rate.
Yeah. And guys, just make sure that you're eating right. I mean, this working out will not do anything for you if you are not fueling your body with the right nutrition. That's a big, big part. We say this in the military all the time, hydrate or die.
I mean,
drink water. And eat healthy food. You eat to live. You don't eat to enjoy food. Food is what you need to keep your body alive. So change your relationship with food. Change your relationship with water. Just remember that this water is making my heart beat. This water is keeping me alive.
Same thing with the food.
Yeah. So just make sure you're fueling your body with the right things, because that's honestly I want to say the majority of what it takes to pass a PT test, because you can tell between hydrating and not hydrating. And when I mean hydrate, I mean drink a lot of water. Like what I used to do, especially right before a PT test, 3 days before, I would have a gallon of water every single day. And up until that PT test, I was super hydrated. I was ready to go. I got my rest. I took my vitamins. I had a healthy breakfast and I was ready to go. And every single time, you know what happened? I passed that PT test, and I didn't just pass it. I passed it with flying colors. So
You need to take baby steps when you go into this too. If you're chugging a Mountain Dew right now and you eat like shit and everything like that, don't expect to just do this full body transformation. It's going to be hard to do.
Yeah, it takes time.
It's not, you're not changing your diet. It's an entire lifestyle change. Start with half a gallon of water, because half a gallon of water is easy. You can damn near kill half a gallon of water after a hard workout and during the workout.
Mm-hmm.
Start with half a gallon of water and do half a gallon of water a week for that first week. Then the second week, try to up it to 3/4 of a gallon of water. And your body will adjust to it. And then you need to try to get to where you're drinking about a gallon of water a day. I'm not saying every single person needs to drink exactly 1 gallon of water, because some people really, really don't take to that very well. But you have to figure out your body. I can't tell you exactly what's best for your body. You know your body better than anybody knows your body. But you have to kind of wean yourself into these behaviors.
Yeah.
If you eat like shit, try eating healthy 1 meal a day. And then once you've got that 1 meal a day on lock, well, now you're 1 meal a day healthier. That's 7 meals a day healthier every week. Then the next week, try to add another meal into there. And eventually, you just can't do this. You know what? I'm going to be super motivated right now and I'm going to do this. And that's great. That's awesome. But I'm going to tell you something. Motivation is only going to take you so far. Nobody wakes up motivated every single day. I'm huge on self-discipline. If I woke up this morning and I was tired, I didn't want to get on the path and do what I need to do to get to where I want to go and accomplish my dreams and goals. Well, guess what? Motivation doesn't mean shit to me that day. But you know what does? The self-discipline and forcing myself to get the things done that I know that I need to get done in order to better myself that day. You make those small decisions every single day. It takes self-discipline to get you there. There's nothing wrong with motivation, but by no means should motivation be your primary source of anything. Self-discipline is what you have to develop. And the quicker you start developing the self-discipline prior to basic training, the better it's going to carry you on.
You know, like I always say, you'll never regret doing a workout, but you will regret not doing one.
Absolutely. So. And another thing too, I'm not too worried about you youngsters that's listening to this podcast and you came out of high school sports and stuff like that and you're going into it. But man, if you are a couch potato and you were a gamer and you weren't really active or anything like that and you're going into the military, I'm going to tell you what the military has to offer you: some stress fractures. Because stress fractures is the biggest eliminating factor when it comes to basic training. The stress fractures that we see primarily, there are instances of high school athletes and stuff like that getting the primary trainees that I had when I was in basic training that I would see got stress fractures are those people that didn't do a damn thing growing up outside of sitting on the couch, watching TV and stuff like that. If you're thinking about joining the army and you know you're not active, you need to get your ass into gear now. You have got to get those bones developed. Think of it like this. If you've ever ran, you know what a shin splint feels like. And what do you do with the shin splint? You take a couple days off and nurse that shin splint and let it get back to full health. You know what you're not going to do in basic training? Nurse that shin splint back. I don't care if you got shin splints or not. The next day, you are out there and you're running again. We don't have time for that in war. So you don't have time for that in training. Now, there is something where you can go to sit call, and if you have people who abuse sit call, and you're going to have those people that abuse sit call, and next thing you know, they're recycling. You're like, okay, bye. Well, you should have been at the damn hospital every single day. But if you come to basic training with a strong body, you will be strong in basic training.
Yeah. And talking about sit call and stuff like that and taking care of your body, I remember when I went through basic training, we literally have this freezer. You walk through the door right before you get to your barracks, and there was a freezer full of just frozen sponges. That's all you get, frozen sponges, which is pretty much like an ice pack. And when I say they don't last but maybe 20 minutes. That's not going to heal your shin splints. So take care of your body. And another thing is the quick, when he was talking about getting recycled, it's just another term for you're staying longer until you learn how to graduate basic training. But the easiest way and the quickest way to get through basic training is to just graduate.
Exactly.
Just graduate.
We have so many soldiers that are mentally weak that try everything they can to get out of basic training, from fake suicide attempts to real suicide attempts to woe is me, I'm going to go to sick call every day, I'm going to try to get out on a medical injury, I'm going to try to do all this stuff. You know what winds up happening to those soldiers? They're there for 3 to 6 months. Sometimes we even had soldiers in there up to 2 freaking years in basic training. 2 freaking years. Mm-hmm. 2 years in basic training. They thought they were going to get out, and instead now they're going down a spiral downhill where they got to keep faking injuries after they've already healed and all this stuff. The quickest way to get out of basic training is to go in and just freaking graduate basic training. Mm-hmm. Anytime you go to sick call, you need to have a reason to go. There is no shame in going to sick call. If you're hurt and your drill sergeant knows you're hurt, your ass is going to be forced to go to sick call. There's nothing wrong with it. When there's something wrong with it is when you abuse it and you're there every single day to get away from drill sergeants. Again, you signed up for it. You knew what you were getting into. You have got to do what it takes to get it done and get on. Do not be afraid of basic training. Millions upon millions of soldiers before you went through basic training and graduated. It is very possible. It is not hard. The Army is one of the easiest jobs I've ever had in my life. I do what I'm told, I show up at the right time, and I show up in the right uniform with the right equipment. Everything I need is laid out before me. It is my job to instill the self-discipline in myself to make sure that that happens.
Yeah, definitely. I know when I was going through basic training, I had this this one guy that was there. He threw himself down a flight of stairs, and he fractured a bone in his leg or something like that. But he was there probably 2 months after I had already left.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're saying when we mean just graduate, just get it over with, because that's going to be your quickest way out. It's going to be your quickest way home.
And it just comes back to having a strong mind. All the people that do this mm-hmm. have weak minds. You have got to know your why. They all lost their way, they lost their path, and they lost their why.
Mm-hmm. And I know Cody said that it was easy. It's easy to an extent. It's not, it's hard. It's easy, but it's hard. It just kind of depends on how you take it. Like I said, take everything that we're giving to you with a grain of salt and use it how you will, because that's kind of dependent on you. I know for me, it was hard, but it was a good hard. It was a very difficult process, but you learn through it and you get through it, and then you finish it and you're like, oh my God,
absolutely,
I just did that.
Yep. We got about 10 minutes left, so I'm going to wrap it up here.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about the drill sergeant angle really quick, because that's something I want you guys to know. So be afraid of your drill sergeants. You should be afraid of your drill sergeants. We are there. I almost want to say we're like little miniature dictators. It's not a democracy. It's our way or the highway. There's only one way to do it. And the reason that we run our ships as a dictatorship is because we know the right way. We are subject matter experts in basic combat training and warfare, and we are exactly who needs to be in front of this formation to make sure that you make it through this successfully. That is why we run it as a dictatorship. Any little tiny thing that we say or do is meticulously thought out, because at any point of time, we might have to answer to a higher authority as to why we made that decision. If I'm sitting here telling you something and you start crying, you're missing the entire point. Anything I say or do is either to make you better or motivate you to be stronger. I'm not going to be nice about it. It's not my job to be nice about it. It's my job to put stress on you. However, drill sergeants are not these heartless robots. We are all human beings. Every single thing that we say or do or put you through is to better yourself in one way, shape, or form. If I'm fucking you up, it's because you messed up and I need to teach you that you did something wrong. While fucking you up, I'm also helping you to better set yourself up to pass a PT test so you can graduate and move on, instead of being recycled another 3 to 9 weeks and go through basic training all over again. A lot of people miss this drill sergeant angle. So if you enlist, you're listening to this podcast, and you enlist and you're in formation and you're getting fucked up by a drill sergeant, you have a drill sergeant in your face, I want you to think back to my voice, and I want you to think about that drill sergeant angle and think about that drill sergeant and why is he telling you this? He's not telling you this because he personally hates you. There is nothing personal about being a drill sergeant. It is just a job. but it's a very, very, very important job. One of the most important ones in the entire Army, in the entire military. There's always a reason why we do or say something. So instead of just sitting there crying and breaking down and losing all hope, think about the drill sergeant angle. What is he trying to teach you through his method, his or her method of teaching?
Yeah, definitely. But I think that's a good end to our little episode here. I think we covered a lot of things. And if you guys ever have any questions, we are both on Instagram, and you can always message our Facebook page, Plan of Action Podcast. My Instagram is at Magner, MAGNER1001. I'm also under Abigail Taylor, if that makes it a little bit easier to find.
Yeah, if you guys have any questions at all, or we missed anything that you have questions on, please, please, please reach out to us on Facebook, like Abby said, at Plan of Action Podcast. Reach out to us. We don't really care if you follow us. Like I said, we're not here to get popular or anything like that. If you want to follow us, follow us. Again, my Instagram is Sake of Motion, SakeOfMotion. We're on Instagram at Plan of Podcast or Plan of Action Podcast. Message us on there. Message our personal accounts. We are here to make you better.
Yeah.
If you have any questions, do not feel like you're asking too many questions of us. We're here for you guys. That's why we're here. Blow us up. This podcast
to begin with. I would also like to say that we are on three more outlets now for you to listen to us.
We're on
Breaker, Google Podcasts, and Radio Public. So we're available on there as well. If you guys know, we're on Spotify, as you guys know. Yeah, we're on Spotify as well. And you can also listen on anchor.fm. All those links for everything will be provided when this video goes live. So
yeah, eventually we're going to get our YouTube going. We're going to be on Apple Podcasts here before too long. Yeah. Real quick before we end this, do you want to talk about, do you have any ideas for a Wednesday podcast? Are you still kind of brainstorming right now?
Yeah, so I'm still brainstorming on that right now. I'm working on something with one of my battle buddies who is actually in South Korea at the moment. But once she gets back, we're going to do something with her. So yeah, that's to be continued on that.
Okay, for our Monday podcast for men. I'm going to try to get this podcast in come Monday. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get it this week, though. I have a lot of homework to catch up on. Like I said, we both work full-time. We're full-time students. We have a lot going on. We're trying not to make excuses, but we're trying to, you know, police up our lives and make sure we stay on the same path, because it doesn't make any sense for us to preach to you guys and us let our own lives fall by the wayside. But the first Monday podcast for men that I have in mind is probably going to be martial arts based. If you guys don't know, I've been doing martial arts for 24 years. I'm fairly well versed in martial arts, and I know what martial arts can do for you. So I'm thinking about doing a martial arts podcast. And then one more quick thing, we're probably going to have my first interview on a Monday podcast. It's going to be with this dude. You know, we kind of met through Instagram. He found us on Instagram. We were kind of talking for a little bit, and I like his thought process on a lot of things. He's just starting just like us. So another thing, like I said, we don't want to bring all these big names to you that you guys can find anywhere else. We're going to at some point in time, but right now it's all about finding people just like us and us building each other up as a community together. He just started his Instagram. It's Becoming Wolves, at Becoming Wolves on Instagram. You can also find his website at becomingwolves.com. That's something I joined. I'm kind of immersing myself in. I'm kind of seeing what he's got to offer and everything. And from what I found out so far, he has a lot to bring to the table as far as helping you guys, you know, like we said, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually better. He's very well versed in Jungian archetypes, J-U-N-G-I-A-N archetypes. If that's something you want to Google emotional intelligence. And that'll set you guys up really well for that first interview that I have coming up. So I think that's all.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. I hope you like it. And if you have any ideas for future episodes that you would like us to cover, just send us a message. But yeah, thank you guys.
Absolutely. Thank you guys so much. Take care and stay tuned for episode 3. Follow us on social media so you can keep up with it, and you'll know when our next episode drops. So you guys take care. Stay blessed. Plan of Action Podcast out.